All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, cool. Here we are at a haunted taxidermy tarot card, I don't know, human skull store.
I mean, it used to be like a whole strip mall, but they had to merge. They ended up splitting a lease. It's nice when they work together, especially in an economic contraction.
It's called something like Queen Mab's House of Spirits or something like that.
Yeah.
It smells like incense enough to where you want to die. Like you're developing, you know, you need gills to breathe this air because it's so thick with patchouli and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They have a grab bag.
Ooh.
The things they could not sell that belong to this kind of zone, they put in paper bags. It's $10 a bag.
Okay.
And they have a bunch of them by the door, and I figure we just buy one, see what we get.
Okay. Yeah. So here's $10. I'm going to put it in this top hat that the skeleton is holding as a courtesy here. There we go. Let's open this bad boy up.
Yeah, let's rip it.
Uh-huh.
You grip it, I rip it.
Okay. So here's a little vial. It has teeth inside of it. And there's a little label that says, these were a clown's teeth.
Let me be the first to say, twisted. That is twisted.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead and reach in there. What else we got?
Okay. Let me, okay. Here's a monkey with symbols.
I mean, just like a toy, like the toy or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. But kind of scary.
Oh, they've got like thumbtacks in the middle of the symbols. So like he's clanging them together, but you know, like if you reach your hands in there, it would hurt a little bit.
Yeah, it might, you know, it'd be hard. You'd be harder to reach your hands in there than not.
Right.
I guess that's true of most things.
Yeah.
You'd be amazed the things I don't reach my hands into.
Here we've got, it's just a copy of Monster Blood, the Goosebumps book. It's probably
the best thing.
Probably. Yeah. Find, yeah. It's pretty good.
And then here's a disc.
It's a disc.
A CD. It's got, in red nail polish, on the cover, it says Paranoia Escape for the PlayStation 1.
Okay.
I don't like this, but I'm looking forward to getting yelled at about it because I'm sure that this has its fans.
I'm sure.
My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
Welcome to Abject Suffering. Here come the boys. Hello, boys. Welcome. There we are. We are here.
I love that so much. I watch that video, that TikTok of that cat coming, that song.
Oh, I did not know the TikTok.
Oh. Yeah, it's just somebody singing a song as a cat walks up the road to them. And it's a song about how the boy is here. He comes. Hello, boy. There he is. He is here. Yeah.
I like the boys.
Yes.
All my TikTok I get from just Facebook showing it to me.
Yeah. The reels.
I don't have a TikTok.
Right.
It's the worst. It's all like pranks. It's all like a weird teenage bro talking into his phone and saying like, yeah, I really want to fuck my uncle. And then showing like, you know, girls being like, what? Over him overhearing that.
That is so weird because I was having a conversation. I was talking on the phone with Chris, my brother, earlier today. He was like, hey, do you watch those like the TikToks on Facebook? And I was like, yeah, it's mostly cats and then like people doing like weird little like, isn't this satisfying, like, you know, like home renovation things, like, ah, they're scraping all this paint off and it all comes off like in one big like cool piece. Ah, yes, satisfying. Mm-hmm. And he was saying his is nothing but videos of like people in rural China like cooking cowhide and leather and horsetails and stuff, like all the stuff that they have to do to make it to make it edible. I don't know what is going on, but like there's some kind of mirror being held up, and I don't know why you're getting
twisted carnival mirror.
Yeah.
is what's being held up to society.
I don't know why you're why he's getting that, why you're getting yours.
no idea. I mean obviously I get tons of pet content from Facebook, but it's all through groups.
Yes,
like somebody will post to a pet group, a cat related TikTok or what have you, and it's good. Yeah. But the ones that Facebook decides to surface to me are always like pranks.
Yeah,
it's grotesque.
Yeah, I get lots of like riddles that are not meant to be solved, or like people setting up like weird things and like follow for the solution, or people like, hey, I bet you $50 that you can't connect these dots with one line. And it's like,
I'm embracing being cranky and being old.
Okay. Leaning into it.
We're practicing for band practice, and like every night I'm having maladies just from band practice, and like, you know, seeing what I look like, and we're all talking about all our bodies falling apart, realizing that I'm just on Grandpa Patrol 24/7 now. And I'm willing to say fuck TikTok.
Yeah.
No, I'm good. This is an ecosystem. I'm not that interested. I'm sure there's good stuff. Who cares? There's unlimited good stuff.
But I still like to use that fucking Facebook feature because it's there. It's an attractive nuisance. It's like those Amazon ad modules where it's like, what does that device do? I have no idea. Like it's industrial or it's like, I need to know what it is, and I need to know how much it costs.
Or all those Goodbelly. Do you get Goodbelly ads?
No.
Where it's like all this weird food on a dare.
No, I don't get those. Yeah.
Goodbelly is fucking out of this wild. It's like novelty restaurants from around the country, and they'll ship you their signature things frozen. Huh. And so a lot of times it's just pizza, like, you know, just various kinds of pizza. But then every once in a while, it's some kind of weird meat hunk or like just something that does not look like food.
Yeah.
Just something really gross looking.
Mm-hmm.
And just like, yeah, I'd love to get this like pile of like, you know, a mutton carcass shipped to me frozen from New Hampshire for, you know, $190.
Yeah,
just absolutely ridiculous.
You know, or you get the one ad that is absolutely clickbait, which is like, eat this to live forever, and it's just an extreme close up on some fruit that looks like labia.
Yeah. And I eat pussy to live forever. I intend to.
Live
forever.
It's working out pretty fine for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They haven't died yet. Paranoia Escape, man.
Paranoia Escape. Yeah. So I brought this. This is a cold joint. I had never heard of this before. I was just kind of casting about because, you know, I was feeling hard up for something to bring, and I just did a search for like weirdest PS1 games. Had never heard of this, and this was listed up near the top. And I thought, oh, this looks intolerable. And it is. So what this is a first person pinball game, which is
a cool idea.
Yeah, an idea that has potential.
Yep. But it's let me be first to say, twisted.
It is. I mean,
it's a serial killer clown.
It is a serial killer clown. Yeah, no, it's you haven't played a pinball game quite like this. This isn't your dad's pinball, unless your dad's from hell.
Yeah, unless if your father is Satan himself, this is the pinball that he plays, because it's a little bit twisted.
It's a little bit rock and roll.
Yeah. I mean, it's just it's takes society's norms and it just flips them a little bit.
Just a little bit. It says, okay, what if we had a pinball table, but instead of being like based on like Terminator or The Simpsons or The Addams Family or a magical theater or a Monster Party or a Black Knight or an Elvira or
Beatles.
Yeah,
homegrown Simpson stuff.
It's like, what if the table is instead a long hallway made of flesh? With ears for bumpers and like little obstacles that are just its noses and its eyes and its anuses sticking up. And what if the sky was made up of a repeated tiling rib cage? What if the targets you were going after were like weird little baby spirits? And one of the panels were made of bones.
Yeah, it's real David Cronenberg at its worst.
Yeah.
You know? Like Cronenberg's okay with body horror stuff, but this is the worst kind of stuff.
So here's the thing. This is an auteur work. This is a Japanese special effects and makeup artist, goes by the name Screaming Mad George. He moved to America in the 80s, and he has worked on a lot of films and with creators who we enjoy. He is a longtime collaborator with Brian Usna. He did makeup and special effects for like the Predator movies, for Silent Night, Deadly Night, Nightmare on Elm Street. Like, he's had a hand aesthetically in a bunch of stuff that like I've got genuine affection for, like, you know, Big Trouble in Little China, etc. And the problem is when you take, you know, the like this is, you know, real twisted body horror, you know, like what if a wall was made of meat kind of stuff, and you just present it on its own without a story or anything like alongside of it, like just held in a vacuum by itself, it is the silliest and ironically most toothless thing.
it becomes an Inch Nails video, which which he did. I think about this aesthetic that I hate, I think about the video for Closer by Nine Inch Nails.
He didn't direct that. That wasn't him.
We didn't direct it. He didn't direct it, but he's responded. So what is the thing I thought he did some of the set, like made some of the puppets and shit for.
Oh, maybe he did some like the weird thing. Closer.
He didn't direct it. I think he did like makeup effects.
You right. Know,
made, did creature effects, like the pig's head rotating on the turntable. you know, here's the doll with buttons in its eyes that are bleeding. I think he did that shit.
Yeah. Okay.
For it.
I could see that. And again, it's just like, you know, like here is a museum of the absurd. No, a museum of the disturbed.
Disturbed. Well, I'll just say it. Twisted. Let me see if that's correct. I believe that is true. I saw that in a YouTube.
Yeah.
About this guy.
The prosthetics were made by Screaming Mad George, who also worked on Nine Inch Nails Closer, and has made masks for Slipknot.
I was gonna bring up Slipknot as a thing as well.
Yeah. Well, the primary musical artist, again, just the intolerable 90s. Just bullshit aesthetic that I really associate this with. The primary person that he worked with was Marilyn Manson, noted monster who, like, reading stories from the people he abused.
Yeah.
It is some of the most like genuinely horrifying shit that I have ever heard. Reading that makes me feel like he wanted his music to feel.
Let's put that aside just for a second. Like, yes, we can't actually put his monsterism aside.
No, no.
But we'll speak purely of aesthetics for just the time.
Uh-huh.
You know, that is my least favorite aesthetic. And one of the things I think has aged worse of all things.
Oh, yeah.
Is that early 90s goth industrial, you know, here's a doll, you know, puking blood on a turntable in sepia tone.
Mm-hmm.
This was a like a touchstone for an aesthetic I don't like, and has always been.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw this, I'm like, God, this is fucking like that Closer thing. And then I found out that he made Closer, and got a big laugh out of that.
Oh yeah, just the wonderful thing. Like, this is exactly like. Oh no, it is precisely like, because it is precisely it's the so- same.
So pathetic. Like, the mask for Slipknot. Somebody's looking at the mask for Slipknot and being like, those are cool.
Oh, man. That's just a oof. Man, Marilyn.
Who does that?
Marilyn
who
Manson.
That's cool.
Like, boy, his the thing he's wearing, that oof, he's really stepping out there. This is crazy.
It doesn't have the kind of like feckless German charm of H.R. Giger. You know, like, he's just kind of using this, you know, pulsating mood vulva. And, like, that's kind of fun.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's a proboscis penis that ejects from the shaft. And, like, I can kind of get into that because it's German and serious, and Alien looks really cool.
Yeah.
This is the little kid Spencer's Gifts version of it, and it always has been. It's even when I was a teenager watching Closer, I'm like... Mm-hmm. Man, these guys are trying real hard.
Yeah.
And this game is trying so fucking hard.
Yeah, it really is. And there, you know, and you can read, like, if you go and read about this is a game that is subject to a certain amount of admiration and a certain amount of curiosity, again, for like Mr. Mosquito reasons, right? Like, this feels kind of endemic to a particular era of video games because it kind of is, right? Like this is a very PS1 kind of deal, right? You will read people saying like, oh my gosh, this is actually like really upsetting. And it's like, yeah, it's weird and it's unpleasant, but like, I don't know. It just like, it pretty much strips away immediately to being a wireframe because there's no context for it. Like there's nothing to make it seem painful or especially gross. I don't know.
Yeah. It's a music video. It's a parade of dumb macabre artifacts to make it twisted. Mm-hmm. Hey, you did it. It's twisted. His biography on IMDb under the trivia section has a single fragment sentence. It says slimy and grotesque makeup effects as a single point of trivia.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't argue with it. So again, this has, when you give this a context, mm-hmm. you know, you put this in Predator, you put this in Big Trouble in Little China. It's pretty cool.
Yes.
He had his own movie, which is a Mark Hamill movie, which is famous for having a face instead of an anus, like somebody's asshole, but it's a human face there.
Okay.
And those show up in this game as they well. Do. It's his like signature is like, what if a face was an anus? This is calling card.
Yeah.
And I have no reaction other than, you know what?
Yeah, twisted. No, that would be really inconvenient.
Yeah. Totally twisted, bro.
Yeah.
You've really shocked me. I'm a normie.
Uh-huh.
And you the cosmic fool has broken me out of my plastic fantastic, reality through presupposing what if an ear was about.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I expected it to be, you know, something like
on a head.
Yeah, on a head.
Yeah,
on
the side of the head.
I was just going to go into another list of pinball tables.
And this also mechanically is, I mean, this is such a tertiary concern to this, but it's mechanically pretty flat. Like a first person pinball is a fun idea.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't really do very much with it.
No, it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad pinball actually too, because like the ball, like the rolling isn't really modeled. It kind of doesn't matter. Like when you hit the ball as it's rolling down the paddle, the ball can just kind of like miss you and go back. Like it's only like
you're catching and throwing it every once in a while instead.
Yeah.
What it feels like.
Yeah. It's only like aesthetically just kind of like borrowing the idea of maybe possibly being pinball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like it. It's very short because it's like a little art piece.
Yeah.
You know, when he talks about this, is also doubles as a album. He mm-hmm. considers it, to be an album. And the music is not for me.
Nope.
Just screechy industrial metal shit that is never going to sound good to me.
Mm-hmm.
That it matches with this aesthetic. You know, like when I was a teen in the 90s and got into Nine Inch Nails, it was all pretty Hate Machine stuff because of the weird like synthesizer things, like the MIDI, the stuff that sounded like the Quake soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of into. And then when he got way into guitars and hooks and Cenobite stuff.
Yeah.
It just seemed laughable to me. Mm-hmm. And I like Cenobites, but it's because they're fun and funny to me.
Yes.
Nine Inch Nails always struck me as like, you know, what if a plague doctor was walking through the fog with a hook in his hand? Wouldn't that be scary and twisted?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, yes, sure. Okay.
Not really.
Yeah. That imagery is dead. It's dead imagery.
Uh-huh.
You know? Yeah.
I don't know. It is one of those things. Some of my Nine Inch Nails period is like, it's pretty much all stuff that is related to David Lynch, right? So the Lost Highway soundtrack, the Nine Inch Nails performance in Twin Peaks The Return actually works really, really fucking well for that episode.
Do they play like a Nine Inch Nails song?
Yeah, they play She's Gone Away.
I do not know that Nine Inch Nails song.
Yeah, I don't know what it's from. It works. It works in context. It's also the absolute fucking best episode of that season for non-Nine Inch Nails reasons. But yeah. Every episode has like it ends with a different music performance at the Roadhouse. There, and just one of them is just like, hey, here's Nine Inch Nails coming and doing their thing. It's weird. It's not like a huge stage show.
It's not I don't think that would be something that would make me not like Twin Peaks The Return. Mm-hmm. But I do not like their music. I do not like his vibe. I think it's bad. He's an okay composer. Like, the Quake soundtrack has some joy to be found in it, but I do not like how he writes songs.
Yeah.
Lyrics are embarrassing.
I didn't
I
didn't realize that their first album was 1989. That is really, that's strange, because like, it's one of those weird things. Like, the 90s didn't begin until Nevermind came out, but like, I would also say the 90s actually began when that album came out.
Yeah.
when it
was all keyboard focused, I can kind of dig it. It's like when they all discovered distorted guitars is kind of what killed it for me.
Yeah.
Like, the same thing is true of a bunch of like 80s industrial bands that people love.
Yeah.
You know, like early Ministry albums are quaint and kind of charming before they got angry and crunchy.
Yeah.
You know, and I can't handle an angry musician who is just, you know, bring me closer to God, you know,
it's a little much.
It's gross.
Mm-hmm.
Gross. It just feels slimy and nasty and like a juvenile emotion. It fills me with high school. Like, it just, I don't relate to it the same way. I can't get in touch with my inner teen. Yeah. And that's what this guy who calls himself Screaming Mad, is like the most teenage shit I've ever heard in my life. And he was born in 1956.
Yeah.
So this 70-year-old man, or 60-year-old man is now like, you know, I'm a cool teen.
Yeah.
You know, and I just, yeah.
It's strange because he's talented, you know, like,
yeah, sure. Like, you can make something the shape of a face and then blow it up. You know, he's talented in that way.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What if you made a rubber, you made body parts out of rubber and stuck them to stuff?
Mm-hmm. Oh, but you know,
I mean, he helped with like the Predator. The Predator is a great design.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, all that stuff in Big Trouble in Little China where people like blow up and stuff,
mm-hmm.
like that's fun because it's kind of gonzo,
mm-hmm.
you know, but it doesn't like, it never like looks super good to me. It's kind of fun because it looks a little bit bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I like that movie a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't get me wrong, but it's not like that's good effects.
Yeah.
He later did, you know, he worked on The Abyss and stuff like that. Like, he did good stuff as well, but his signature stuff of like, what if an anus on a face, like that does not look, or face on an anus does not look good.
Yeah. Yeah. It just, I think that he everything that I'm seeing that I've enjoyed of his, it just, oh, he's like, he's one part of the team. Right. And again, what it is just put front and center as like, what if this object existed, you know, it doesn't have the, cause you identified H.R. Giger, and then I'm living in attention here because my favorite, visual artist is, Zdzislaw Beksinski. Right.
Yeah.
Kind of the similar.
Well, that's very different though. Cause it's making things that are real.
Yeah.
You know, versus a painting. I think that is pretty, you know, different feeling.
Yeah. I don't know.
And this, he's also retired. I call him 70, you know, and still doing this stuff. He stopped in 2013.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like he's still just like, hey guys, what if an eyeball was inflated?
No, he's
be twisted. Like, he's not doing that now.
Yeah, he's probably just kicking it, living off residuals, maybe giving some, maybe giving some interviews every once in a while.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I like surrealism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think just like the surrealism of the flesh in a sepia tone, what if a pig head way, is just not very appealing to me.
Yeah.
Juvenile surrealism is not interesting to me.
I think it's the juvenilia too aspect of it too. Like, but like, what if it was a baby doll's head, but what's crawling out of it? Oh, it's a tarantula.
Yeah. What about a twisted take on Alice in Wonderland? Like, it's a children's story, but there are a lot of scary themes to that.
Gary,
and if we made those undertones overtones,
Gary, if you say even one more word, we're gonna have American McGee. He's gonna appear like fucking Candyman, dude.
Kick in the door, hose me down, like, the fireman's hose.
Oh, guess welcome to hell. Guess what? Oh, we have American McGee's now. No.
I remember when, because this is also something I associate with Tim Burton, of course.
Of course.
He doesn't do the aesthetic, but he still does the like, what if childlike thing was actually twisted.
Yeah.
And I was like, I remember before he put out his Alice in Wonderland
thing,
I was like, how come that guy hasn't got a hold of Alice in Wonderland yet? And then he did, because, you know, as an enthusiast for checkerboard patterns,
mm-hmm.
Of course he's going to get it. And then I was like, I bet you he's going to get Wizard of Oz at some point. And then I can't remember if he did that, but then they did make that Twisted.
They did the Great and Wonderful Oz. Yeah.
Yeah. They did a modern Twisted take on Oz.
Yeah.
Who's the market for these Twisted takes on
if this was 10 years ago, I would say, it's fucking Hot Topic, kids. But like, I don't know if Hot Topic, I mean, like I went to the mall where I used to work for the first time. And a few days ago, went there to grab something for somebody for Christmas. I was shocked to see that Hot Topic was still open.
Oh yeah. It's entirely like Undertale shirts and Clown Wife shirts. Like it's sans, and then it's Daddy's Little Psychopath Harley Quinn shirts.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really amazing.
No. And then I know that those people, like I've seen them, like there's a car in town that has a bumper sticker on it that it's like the Disney princess font. And the bumper sticker says powered by bitch dust.
Twisted. Not what I would expect. I love it when the beginning of something is like, I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, this is going to be wholesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be for kids, like, you know? Whoa. Hold up. I have been shocked.
I mean, not to just be repeats a tweet guy, but one of the things, like, just somebody listening to Crazy Train for the first time, all aboard. Like, all right, yeah, we got a train going. Yeah. Scary guitars come in. Wait a minute.
Oh, no.
What kind of train is this going to be?
A crazy train. Every once in a while, so I like Crazy Train.
Yeah, yeah.
That song. There's a quaintness that can happen here. The difference is whether it's actually trying to be scary.
I guess, yeah. You know,
a lot of the time. Like the closer video wants to be scary.
Yeah.
Scary and darkly sexual. You know, in a way that is like Cenobites, but Cenobites are I think Cenobites are fun.
Yeah,
it's not scary, it's just stupid.
Yeah, like, you know? I don't get scared watching a Hellraiser movie, you know, one or two, right? You know, and I almost don't like it. It's weird because I don't know if they're trying to be. I don't know. Like, I don't want to be the guy who just goes, that whole thing smacks of effort. You know, calling something try hard. I think that's a little bit of a cop out to a certain degree to me. But like, there is an element of that, right? Like
they're trying to do is what contextualizes try hard, right?
Yeah.
So like, try hard on its own is an empty insult.
Yes.
Trying very hard to shock me is a meaningful criticism.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. And it's like, no, so trying very hard and it not being shocking, all you can see is the effort, you know?
Yeah.
Like an actual shocking movie, you know, to pull something we talked about recently, Hereditary, took an incredible amount of work to make, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was try hard and it was too good effort.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to Closer or Scream at Mad George's anus face menagerie or pinball heavy metal music video game.
Yeah.
It's just trying hard the same way that like a 4-H haunted house might try hard.
Yeah.
Or something
like a hell, you know, house. Just, yeah.
Yeah, it feels embarrassing to me. It fills me with like douche chills.
Yeah. And so I'd be curious, like, has anybody actually been like upset or disturbed by you know, the antics of this, you know? And like, I would want to probably take this away and say, like, it, you know, if I was flipping around, if I was like 7 years old and flipping around and on, you know, and MTV came up and I was playing the Closer video, I don't know, that would probably like get under my skin a little bit like that. That's a beating heart that's like attached to the back of a chair and it's like pumping out steam. That's upsetting. Yeah.
This Mr. Reznor has claimed to found the perfect drug. So it's a hate machine. I understand.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a hate machine. I understand it. Hold up. It's pretty.
That
is the kind of irony you can take to the bank.
So I mean, like as a grown ass adult, Ed, like it, like have you actually been scared by this? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Can you be older than like, can you be, if you're younger than when you're supposed to think it's just cool and subversive, then you, maybe you're scared to it at that point. You're just supposed to think it's cool. But I feel like as soon as you turn like 15,
maybe
like your DNA should swap and you should be like, oh man,
There should be some
fucking dorky and dumb.
Yeah, some little epigenetic kind of switch. And there's probably somebody ripping their hair out saying like, oh my gosh, you guys are just trying to draw boxes to say why the things you like are cool and why the things you don't like are lame.
Yeah. It's just an aesthetic that looks bad to me. Yeah. It just looks, you know, I can't argue with it. Mm-hmm. Right. Like it's not like I'm going into it with a lot of preconceived notions. I lived through mm-hmm. the Nine Inch Nails, Slipknot, Marilyn Manson, you know, aesthetic days.
Mm-hmm.
And it just doesn't seem cool to me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not putting on airs. It just seems like just really silly, kind of cringy, you know, trying really, really hard to be edgy. Yeah. It feels like edgelord stuff.
Yeah.
To me. And then I think the other person who's going to be ripping out their hair is going to be like, oh, no. Trent Reznor is actually an incredibly accomplished and talented musician. And to that, like, that's fine. He still doesn't write songs that I like, though.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And like, I'm not, it's, like, it feels, I'm telling you how it feels to me.
Yeah.
That is not something that anyone else can have lay dominion to or anything.
Yeah.
You know, it feels like a little kid trying to, you know, freak out his dad.
Yeah.
To me. And like, it's okay if it doesn't feel that way to you,
mm-hmm.
but it's irregardless of talent. Like that's not a counter to what I'm saying. Yeah. He could be very talented. He's just not choosing to use that talent in a way that appeals to me. And I can only speak for me.
Yeah. Yeah. His, aesthetic choices just don't vibe. Like I, you know, I'm impressed. Like I recently learned that he like performed everything on Pretty Hate Machine. You know, mm-hmm. like for a debut album, and just like, oh yeah, like that's all him, you know?
Yeah.
And obviously you get people to play the music when you go out, but like any of those albums that are just like this is somebody's soul auteur work, kind of demonstrating a multitude of talents, you know? It's kind of like, I mean, weird comparison, but like it's impressive that Stardew Valley was made by one person because that hits well on so many levels, you know, not just like the play and systems, but like the art is good and the music is good. It's remarkable that somebody can do all of that so well, right? And I would not take that away from Trent Reznor that he did that, you know, made an incredibly important album all in his lonesome, you know?
Yeah. It's undeniably very influential.
Yeah.
Even if it just ended up influencing a lot of stuff I don't like.
Yes.
You know, the Stardew Valley thing, like somebody doing something on their own, that's always a really weird thing to take into account.
Yes.
You know, because something can be by one person, but it doesn't actually change what the thing is
mm-hmm.
at all. And that's always like a critical split that I always find with people is like whether people take that into account or not.
Yeah.
And kind of grade on a curve. Like I think about the game Iconoclasts.
Oh yeah.
And that's like very impressive and cute and stuff, but it's talky and the words are bad and it's repetitive.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it's a very good video game. It's very mm-hmm. impressive for one person, but that doesn't, in my hands, it doesn't matter how many people made it.
Mm-hmm.
Like the game I'm actually playing, it could be made, you know, every person on earth could have designed a pixel.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't change what the actual product is.
Right. Now with my NFT scheme, I am releasing a game where everybody can buy, you know, kind of like how you like buy buy a brick to be like put on mm-hmm. a bridge at the zoo, you know, to sponsor it. So everybody's going to get something on the blockchain that says you own this pixel in this particular mm-hmm. animation. And I'm going to send you a certificate. Now, one side of the certificate is going to be like, hey, we named this particular star after you. That was from a previous venture.
Is the other half you get a square foot of land in Scotland?
Yep. Now you're a lord or a laird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Laird. I'm thinking that Screaming Mad George gets into NFTs and you think about an NFT of a freestanding vulva.
Oh yeah.
And you're like, whoa, like show that to your neighbor in the suburbs while he's mowing his lawn. You signal to the neighborhood that you are not like them. You are very special and unusual.
Your world was not ready for this.
Yeah. You are Ally Sheedy from The Breakfast Club. You are not.
You're not Judd Nelson from The Breakfast
Club. You're not Emilio Estevez. No. No, sir. You are Ally Sheedy.
No Estevez you.
Yep. You are weird. Just, you know, rest assured. You can't be normal. Anyway, I hate this. Fuck off, Cole. I hated this so much.
Yeah.
This made me so mad. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, well. Yeah. So that was fun.
I'm sure I'll find some kind of M&M's thing or something to throw at you next time. When I don't know what to do for a vanity pick, I just look for licensed games.
Oh, of course.
Because it always feels like a safety. Like, it's not like we can't talk about Skittles.
Oh, of course.
What should people do if they like this show?
Well, if they like the show, they can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv and they can kick us a few bucks a month, support the show, get extra content, not just from this show, but many other shows on the network. I think it's a good thing to do.
Yeah, it's cool and fun.
Yeah.
You can also leave us a rating review on Apple Podcast or Podcast Addict, both of which are useful to us.
Mm-hmm.
And what should they do until next time?
Man, wouldn't it be weird if you woke up and your anus was a face? Like, would would you have to feed him?
Yeah. I mean, those are the kind of questions I like to ask.
Yeah.
You know, I love to get F's on essays in school by bringing that kind of stuff. Like, I deliberately misunderstand the prompt.
Uh-huh.
In order to freak out my teacher, because he's a little bit of a square. And I think it's my job to introduce just a little bit of my persona, Captain Chaos,
yeah,
into the world.
You're going to tell them the truth, whether they want it or not.